يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبص منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, for giving us the opportunity again to converge in continuation of the reading and explanation, inshallah, of the book Usul Sunnah by Imam Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani rahimahullah. One of the greatest imams since the history of Islam. The book titled Usul Sunnah. Today, inshallah, we'll be reading the 15th point in this treatise. Not many people are holding the treatise with us. We are not having copies of it. And it's usually better to look at the copies as they are read to maximize the benefits. I'm sure I know some of the brothers who are making attempts to memorize the whole book. I wouldn't know whether they have done that. That's why they are not holding copies of the book. Allahu alam. But it's usually better to have books with you. Alhamdulillah. In the 15th point, the Imam rahimahullah said, وَأَنَّ نَبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ رَأَى رَبَّهُ فَإِنَّهُ مَعْصُورٌ عَنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مَعْصُورٌ عَنِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَحِيحٌ رَوَاهُ قَتَادَة عَنْ عِكْرِمَةَ عَنِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ وَرَوَاهُ الْحَكَمُ ابْنِ أَبَانَ If you have the script, it said Al-Hakam an Aban. It is wrong. It is Al-Hakam an Al-Hakam ibn Aban. So that Ainun, just change it to Ba'un. So that it is Al-Hakamu ibn Abanin. An ibn Abbasin. وَرَوَاهُ عَلِيٌّ إِبْنُ يَزِيدٍ عَنْ يُوسُفِ إِبْنِ مِهْرَانَ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ وَالْحَدِيثُ عِنْدَنَا عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِ كَمَا جَاءَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْكَلَامُ فِيهِ بِدْعَةٌ وَلَكِنْ نُؤْمِنُ بِهِ كَمَا جَاءَ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِ وَلَا نُنَاظِرُ فِيهِ أَحَدًا The Imam said, Rahimahullah, he said, وَأَنَّ نَبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ Don't forget that at the beginning he said to us that there are some matters regarding which the Muslim must necessarily believe. He said, وَمِنَ السُنَّةِ اللَّازِمَةِ التي من ترك منها خصلة لم يقبلها that part of the matters of the deen that are very 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 necessary matters of the deen that whomever leaves any of its matters whoever leaves any part of it لم يقبلها has not actually accepted the deen ويؤمن بها has not actually believed as someone who believes in the deen وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا And he has not actually been part of its people. That is the people of the deen. One of those matters is, that was why he it added wa anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qad ra'a rabbahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shall explain inshallah. He said fa innahu ma'surun an rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sahihun. For it is reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him, authentically. It is reported and it is authentic that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ra'a rabbahu. He said rawahu Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi reported the hadith an Ikrimah an ibn Abbas. He reported from his teacher Ikrimah Mawla ibn Abbas an ibn Abbas. He reported from his Mawla and his teacher Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abu al-Abbas al-Hashmi radiyallahu anhuma. He said warawahu al-Hakam, and also al-Imam al-Hakam ibn Abanin also reported it from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He said again warawahu Ali ibn Yazid, also Ali ibn Yazid reported it, and Yusuf ibn Mihran, he reported it from Yusuf ibn Mihran and ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said wal hadith, and this hadith or the hadith, the same hadith that says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ra'a rabbahu, this hadith indana ala zahirihi, in our view or in the view of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Don't forget he started like that too. He said usulu sunnati indana, so indana huna nahnu Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. He said kama ja'a ala zahirihi, we are going to understand and accept the hadith as it is, as it is in its apparent meaning. وَلَا نُنَاظِرُ فِيهِ أَحَدًا, and we are not going to make it a subject of debate with people. Did the Prophet see Allah? Did he not see Allah? Where did he see Allah? What did he see Allah with? How did Allah look? How does Allah, what did Allah say? Where was he sitting? لَا نُنَاظِرُ فِيهِ أَحَدًا, we are not going to make it a subject of debate with anyone. So this is a lexical approach to what the Imam said rahimahullah. He said wa anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qad ra'a rabbahu. Part of what we must believe is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw Allah, he saw his Lord. He said fa innahu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw his Lord ma'surun an rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sahihun, and authentically reported. One quick benefit here, he said ma'surun sahihun, it is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sahihun, and it is authentic. It is reported and it is authentic. It means that it could be reported but not authentic. He said فَإِنَّهُ مَعْصُورٌ صَحِيحٌ عَنِ رَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said it is reported and then it is authentic. مفهوم المخالفة, understanding the opposite. It means it could be reported and not authentic. So if it is reported and it is not authentic, لَا يُسْمِنْ وَلَا يُبْنِي مِنْ جُوعٍ, it does not make any benefit. It does not suffice. It does not become what we can stand by to say Allah said or Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It's not something that can be relied upon. So he said فَإِنَّهُ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw Allah ma'surun, it is reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sahihun, and that report is authentic. And he wants to tell us about it. Before the time of Al-Imam Ahmad, books of hadith were compiled. There were books of hadith before his time. There are the books of hadith of people like Al-Imam Sa'id ibn Jubair, one of the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Umar. He was a tabi'i, rahimahullah. Abdullah ibn Jubair, Sa'id ibn Jubair, he had a book of hadith at the time. Other people had too. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he had his Muwatta. In fact, for him, he has had to edit and edit and edit Muwatta for about 40 times rahimahullah. Now, Imam Malik rahimahullah. And that's why there were riwayat of Muwatta. Some of the ulama, they mention them and they refer to them as Muwatta'at. That is the various Muwatta. And the reason was that at the various time, from the time that he made his first compilation, when each group of students went to Imam Malik rahimahullah, it is what he had at the time that he had compiled as Muwatta that he was going to read to them. So if the following year another group of students come, he would have added and removed narrations from the Muwatta that he had last year. So when they came, he would read to them. So that's why there were riwayat of Muwatta. This riwayah of Abdullah ibn Wahab. Some of the ulama say it is the most authentic riwayah. Allahu alam. There's a riwayah of Abdullah al-Tunisi, Ibn Yusuf. Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tunisi. He had riwayah. There's a riwayah of Imam al-Shafi, because Imam al-Shafi was also one of the students of Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, Imam Dar al-Hijrah, rahimahumullah. So we are just trying to say that before the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, yes, there were books of hadith that were compiled. But what was common at the time is to refer to a hadith with their isnad, to mention hadith and not say Rawahu al-Bukhari. Because even at the time of Ahmad, yes, Bukhari was there, one of his students. But it was not common at the time to just make azus to refer a hadith to the books where they were compiled. A hadith were mentioned with their asanid. Ulama would say that was asru riwaya. They were still at the generation of riwaya, generation of reporting a hadith with haddathana, akhbarana, and all these siyagul riwaya, siyagul ada. So they were the generation of riwaya. So that was why, if it were today, for example, some of the scholars will just write Rawahu al-Bukhari. Fil hadith alladhi akhrajahu al-Imam al-Bukhari. In the hadith that Imam Bukhari has mentioned the isnad. That is the meaning of that statement. But here he said, rahimahullah, he said, Rawahu Qatadatu. Al-Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama ibn Qatada al-Sadusi has reported from Ikrima, Mawla ibn Abbas. Al-Imam Ikrima is a Berberi. Imam Ikrima is an African who was a slave, one of the slaves of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Some of the ulama, they just refer him to as Ikrima al-Barbari. Rahimahullah. So Ikrima al-Barbari, Mawla ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, reported the hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu. This is not as it is here. It could be problematic to people, because some of the people can say, oh, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal does not have riwayat from Al-Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi. So why is he saying Rawahu Qatada? Even when the Imam has not said Haddathani Qatada, he's just saying from the reports of Qatada. But between him and Qatada is musafat, distances, gap between Ahmad bin Hanbal and Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama. Qatada ibn Di'ama is tabi'i. He met Anas bin Malik, radiyallahu anhu, and as most authentic, he met Abdullah ibn Sarjis. What is most authentic is, he also met Abdullah ibn Sarjis. Himself, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has a report which indicated that he also met Qatada ibn Di'ama, also met Abdullah ibn Sarjis. And other ulama like Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, he mentioned it, Abu Hatim al-Razi, that Al-Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama met Abdullah ibn Sarjis, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he met more than one companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So what we are trying to say is that Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama is tabi'i. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is not tabi'i. He's not even tabi' or tabi'i. So why is he referring to the hadith of a tabi'i without mentioning what is in between him and the tabi'i? Inshallah, we'll try to respond later. But this hadith is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal with this isnad. And there, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, Haddathani Aswad ibn Amir. He said, Haddathani Aswad ibn Amr. It meant that the person from whom Imam Ahmad reported this hadith was who? Aswad ibn Amr. And he said that Aswad ibn Amr said, An Hammad ibn Salama. So Aswad ibn Amr reported from who? Al-Imam Hammad ibn Salama ibn Dinar. And it was Hammad ibn Salama who reported from Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sadisi. But we will not understand it until we have gone back to Musnad al-Imam Ahmad to look at the hadith from its background. It means this report is the kind that is referred to as a riwayah that is mu'allaqa, allaqahu Ahmad. That is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rawahu huna, aw zakarahu huna, mu'allaqan. He mentioned it here, mu'allaqan. A hadith mu'allaqa are narrations that the Imam from whose book we are reading the hadith left aside two and above reporters between himself and the one who reported the hadith. For example, if you go to Sahih Bukhari, it's so common in Bukhari, and there are also mu'allaqat in Sahih Muslim. But those in Bukhari are more than those in Sahih Muslim. So they refer to them, like we mentioned, as mu'allaqatul Bukhari. The mu'allaqat, the report that Imam Bukhari did not mention the isnad between himself, perhaps, and the companion. So he can say, call Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he can also mention one or two people before Ibn Abbas, but he would have left out one or two people between himself and those other two people. So those things are referred to as mu'allaqat. So this will not be seen as a hadith that is munqati between Qatada ibn Di'ama and Ahmad ibn Hanbal and therefore weak, but it will be seen as a report that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has reported how? Mu'allaqan. Do we understand? This is very important. Someone can just ask a simple question. Was Ahmad ibn Hanbal a student of Qatada? If you say no, he said then the hadith is weak. It's not weak. He has reported it here, mu'allaqan. So, and Aswad ibn Amir, like we said, reported the hadith from who? Hammad ibn Salama, who reported from al-Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi, who reported from Ikrimah, Mullah ibn Abbas al-Barbari, and who reported from who? Abdullah ibn Abbas, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ra'aytu Rabbi tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in this hadith said, Ra'aytu Rabbi azza wa jalla. In some books, we see Ra'aytu Rabbi azza wa jalla. In some of that we see Ra'aytu Rabbi tabaraka wa ta'ala. So tabaraka wa ta'ala, exactly we see Musnad al-Ahmad. But in some of the books, because the hadith is also reported in some of the books, it's reported in As-Sunnah of his son, Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal. It's also reported by Al-Imam al-Daruqutni in his book, Al-Ru'iyah. Other scholars have also reported the hadith. Al-Imam al-Lalka'i has also reported the hadith in Sharh Usul Itiqad Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. So with this hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ra'aytu Rabbi tabaraka wa ta'ala. I saw my Lord, the Most High. I saw my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is authentic. What does it mean? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw my Lord, the Most High. What does it mean? Inshallah, we shall come back to it. He said, this hadith, before we go to the next isnad, علماء سي وقد طعن في هذا الحديث بعضهم بعنعنة قتادة. Some of the scholars have said that this hadith is weak. Because Qatada, the reason why we are mentioning this aspect of the issues is because I am feeling that a good number of us are people who study and learn about the science of hadith. So when we come across these benefits and we do not mention them, we are just throwing away the benefits. Because the person who wrote this book is from the greatest scholars of hadith that ever came, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. So, and he will not do something except you'll be sensing the knowledge of the person who did the work. Someone wrote a letter to him rahimahullah. Sheikh Saleh, Sheikh Al-Sheikh, the present Mufti of the Mamlakatul Arabiya, he wrote a small treatise on the biography of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So one of the reports he mentioned in that small book was someone wrote a letter to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, one of the scholars. It was said that the Imam read the letter and tore the letter. People asked the Imam, why did you tear the letter? He said the letter does not reflect his ilm. The letter does not reflect the knowledge of the person who wrote the letter. So it's not what to be said, he wrote the letter. So he tore the letter. Rahimahullah. So when he wrote this book, or when he dictated this book to his students, Abdus ibn Attar, it reflected all who Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was. It will reflect his knowledge of the Aqidah. It will reflect his hadith. It will reflect his fiqh. It will reflect the Imam, rahimahullah. So that's why, if the book is now read without mentioning these values, it is naqs. We are not given the right that is due to the book. So some of the ulama have mentioned that this hadith is not authentic. And they said that the reason why it is not authentic is that Qatada ibn Di'ama is mudallis. We know what tadlis is. Tadlis is that someone reports a hadith, reporting from someone using a lafz, using a siga that makes you think that he heard from the person. For example, saying, Qala fulan ibn fulan. Qala fulan ibn fulan. Qala ibn fulan ibn fulan. Did he say, haddathani fulan ibn fulan? So that's why the ulama say that tadlis is not kazb. Tadlis is not lies. So a fiqh can make tadlis. A fiqh can say, for example, he didn't meet Abu Bakr Tafawa Baliwa, but he read from Abu Bakr Tafawa Baliwa. He read some of what happened. He can say, Abu Bakr Tafawa Baliwa said so and so to so and so. So this referred to as tadlis. He has not said he said to him, but the siga qala or an from him has a meaning that makes you think that he has reported from the person. There are so many reasons why the scholars did that. But what we are saying is, whenever someone does that, the ulama will not accept his narrations until they can find a chain of narrations where he made what they refer to as at-tasrihu bi-tahdith, where he said, haddathani masalan, or where he said, akhbarani masalan, or haddathana masalan, or akhbarana masalan, or things that makes us understand that there's a kind of a clear-cut statement indicating that he actually heard the report from the person from whom he is quoting. So Imam Qatada is one of such persons. But here he has reported this hadith with an-ana, which makes us understand that it is possible he did not hear it directly from Iqrimah. So the scholars have yet said that the hadith is authentic. Why have they then said so? Why have they said the hadith is authentic when this illah is there? Because an-anatul mudallis la yukbal. La tukbal. An-anatul mudallis la tukbal. When a mudallis makes an-ana, it is not accepted. It makes the hadith to be weak. And here there is an-ana. And yet the ulama say the hadith is weak. So why have they mentioned the hadith to be weak? And they have not mentioned that there is a riwaya where he made tasrih bi tahdith. So why is the hadith authentic? This is the first illah they mention regarding the hadith. The second illah they mention, they say, Adamu Sama'i Qatada an Ikrimah. They said that Qatada ibn Di'ama did not report narrations directly from Ikrimah. These two defects that have been mentioned have been explained by the scholars who mentioned that the hadith is authentic. Abu al-Ashbal al-Masri, he has a book which is a sharh of Usul al-Sunnah. He called it Riyad al-Jannah. Riyad al-Jannah bi sharh Usul al-Sunnah. He was saying that the fact that the scholars, the big scholars of hadith, despite recognizing that Qatada ibn Di'ama is mudallis, and yet they authenticated the hadith, it's a reason to authenticate the hadith. This is the reason he gave, Hafizahullah, because he's still alive. But this reason does not suffice, because قول الإمام لا يكون حجة على إمام آخر. The statement of one Imam will not be hujjah on the other, except there is an evidence from one of the two sides. Do we understand? One Imam's statement is not hujjah on the other Imam, except there is evidence from either of the two. Evidence from Qawaid al-Ilmiya or evidence from Kitab al-Sunnah. Because those Qawaid, we are drawn from Kitab al-Sunnah. So the matter still needs that there is a qaida that explains why was Qatada hadith, this hadith, accepted from Qatada ibn Bi'ama al-Sadusi, despite the fact that he has made an'ana. Allahu alam, there can be two reasons why they accept it. The first reason is that Qatada ibn Bi'ama is tabi'i, and Imam Ikrimah is tabi'i. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, this will answer the second issue they raised. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal had mentioned that Imam Qatada was a student of Ikrimah. In fact, from him, he has six narrations that he has reported from Al-Imam Ikrimah, Mawla ibn Abbas, which meant that he studied from him. So this will make us understand that the second issue, this answers the second issue, and then makes us understand that it is possible that Qatada will make an'ana from his narrations from Ikrimah. One, because one, he met him and he reported narrations from him. In fact, in Sahih Bukhari, there are narrations of Imam Qatada from Ikrimah. So that makes us understand that, yes, they were students, because we know one of the conditions for reporting narrations in Sahih Bukhari is what they refer to as Shartul Liqah. That Imam Bukhari would not report narrations except he was sure that there is a report that makes us understand that that student actually reported from the teacher from whom he is reporting. So the fact that he has reported the narration in Bukhari is evidence that they actually met and they were, he was a student of Ikrimah. The second issue that can explain this is the fact that Qatada is tabi'i, Ikrimah is tabi'i. The ulama say if a tabi'i, jalil, imam, fiqh, makes tadlis of a hadith, what he is looking for is what they refer to as uluwul isnad. But here he is reporting from a tabi'i. So where is the ulu here? So the fact that he is looking for ulu that can make him make tadlis has gone. So there is no reason to be afraid of taqlid, of tadlis here. Do we understand? So this hadith is authentic. And the scholars have authenticated the hadith over time. From those who authenticated the hadith, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal himself, rahimahullah, Imam Abu Zura al-Razi, Ubaidullah ibn Abdul Karim, and Al-Hafiz al-Zahabi also reported the hadith and authenticated it. Imam Ibn Kathir authenticated the hadith. And Sheikh al-Albani also authenticated the hadith. So the hadith is authentic with this isnad. So the second isnad, he said, وَرَوَاهُ الْحَكَمُ ibn Abanin. He said also, Al-Hakam ibn Aban reported the hadith and Ibn Abbas from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Like we explained in the case for Qatada and Ikrimah, Al-Hakam is a tabi'i. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is not a tabi'i or tabi'i. So how did he report hadith from him? He has mentioned this hadith, mu'allakun. Do we understand? But the full isnad, we'll find it in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The full isnad for this second isnad that he has mentioned. It said that Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Amr ibn Nabhan al-Basri. He said that Akhbarana Muslim ibn Ja'far and Al-Hakam ibn Abban. So we understand that there are but also two people between Imam al-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakam ibn Abban. It will also mean that Imam Ahmad also has his riwayah to Al-Hakam ibn Abban. But what we are trying to say here is that it was not Imam Ahmad directly who reported from Al-Hakam ibn Abban. We are trying to explain that when we are talking about his report from Imam Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi. I hope it is understood. But this isnad is mentioned weak by Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah in his book Zilalul Jannah. This second isnad, this second chain is mentioned weak. Like I said earlier, the reason why it appears, there is no benefit saying the hadith is authentic and the imam has thrown to us the isnad and we cannot explain why and what he did in the book unless we jump to the hadith and say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ra'aytu rabbi. It does not suffice. We would not have done enough justice to the work, inshallah. So we just try to explain, inshallah. We hope that we understand. But I know most of us, so the brothers are hadith reading brothers, and people who learn about the science. So that's why I just take a little time to bring the benefits. So this second isnad, the isnad of Al-Hakam Ibn Aban, is weak. The third one, he says, rahimahullah, he said, وَرَوَاهُ عَلِيٌّ ibn Zayd عَنْ يُوسُفِ ibn Mihran and ibn Abbas. This third riwaya, this third report that he has mentioned, the ulama say, أَخْرَجَهُ الْإِمَامُ الدَّارُ قُطْنِ. Al-Imam Daru Qutni reported it in his book again, Ar-Ru'ya. He wrote a whole book on seeing Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Daru Qutni, rahimahullah, Ali ibn Umar. He wrote a whole book on seeing Allah. He referred to it as Ar-Ru'ya. So all these reports, he mentioned it inside it. Also, this report is weak because Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is weak. Al-Imam ibn Kathir said, Indahu manakir. He reports narrations that contradict the narrations of people who are reliable narrators. Also, Al-Imam ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, Da'if, that this reporter Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is weak. وَضَعَفَهُ Al-Albani. And Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah also said that he's weak. In fact, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal himself, he said that this reporter Ali ibn Zayd is weak. So two things will come to mind. He mentioned the first report, and the report is sahih. And he has brought two others now that are weak. The first thing that will come to mind is, why did the Imam mention these narrations? Those ones that are weak. Why did he mention them? Two reasons are possible. Allahu Alam. One of those reasons is, he is mentioning them as supporting evidences because the weaknesses are not so pronounced. They are not ahadith that are so weak that cannot be looked at all. Especially when the meaning is supported by an authentic hadith. So he presented the first so that we do not think that he's using the second and the third as his main proof. His main proof, his umda here, is the first riwayah, the first isnad. So he brought that first. You will see things like that also in Sahih Muslim, where you see narrations that are authentic, he presents them first regarding the matter, and perhaps the second and the third narrations may have some slight weaknesses, which make us understand that the meaning of this first hadith, the meaning of the second and the third hadith, is being verified from the first one, which is authentic, and the umda regarding the matter. So they say this, that is his umda. So the umda of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal regarding this matter is the riwayah of Abu Qatada from Ikrimah from Abdullah ibn Abbas, which is authentic. I hope it is clear. Having said this, what then does it mean that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ra'aytu Rabbi, I saw my Lord. The first matter I would like to raise here is, seeing Allah, as it is going to be discussed inshallah, is something that is restricted to the Prophet Muhammad alone, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. No one can say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ra'aytu Rabbi, and then he saw Allah. That is evidence that he can see Allah. That is not evidence that he can see Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he's just telling us what happened to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not saying it will happen to you. He's just giving us khabar. It is not insha. He's not commanding us to see Allah. And it does not indicate in any way that we can see Allah. So seeing Allah is, as it is discussed, it only has to do with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the first matter that we have to understand regarding this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, no one can see Allah. When he was talking about Al-Masih al-Dajjal, and he was saying that Dajjal is not Allah, he says, وَتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَّرَى رَبَّهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتِ. This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim. He said, all of you should understand, أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ, that none of you, no one of you, لَنْ يَرَى رَبَّهُ, none of you will see his Lord hatta yamut, until he dies. So none of us can see Allah until we die. So anyone who sees, who says, who claims to have seen Allah, that or he saw Allah, or that he sees Allah, is a liar. He is either lying or he's belying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no one can see Allah until he dies. That's what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This does not contradict the fact that the people who go to Al-Jannah, may Allah make us be amongst them, that we are going to see Allah. Because he said, hatta yamut. That is depicting nihayaku, that until he dies, So no one can see him. So in this dunya, no one can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second matter here is that it is not talking about seeing Allah in this dunya with the eyes on his head. These matters regarding seeing Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ra'aytu Rabbi tabaraka wa ta'ala." He's not talking about ru'ya bi aynay ra'sihi. He's not talking about seeing him with the two eyes on his head, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said there is ittifaq of this ummah on it. He said that in Majmu' al-Fatawa, well explaining this matter. That there is ijma on this ummah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see Allah in this dunya with his eyes while awake, as men see, as you have seen me and as I can see you now. The Prophet did not see Allah like that. He said because Allah did not come into this dunya. And it's not reported anywhere that he said, "I saw my Lord with the eyes on my head." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see Allah as we see ourselves now in this dunya. He did not. And there's also ittifaq of this ummah on that. The one who says that is making, bringing shuzuz. فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ فِي شِقَاقٍ. He is in rebellion. The one who says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Allah with the eyes on his head, as men see people like that, he's bringing something the ummah never knew. So the Prophet did not see Allah with his eyes, the eyes on his head. He did not. So these are points that we should note regarding this matter. Also, the ulama say, عِلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَدَيْنَا نَفْسٌ ثَابِتٌ مَرْفُوعًا أَوْ مَوْقُوفًا فِيهِ التَّصْرِيحِ بِأَنَّ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَأَى رَبَّهُ بِأَيْنَيْهِ. Do we understand? That is the point that we made. They said, بَلْ ثَبَتَ مَا يَنْفِي ذَلِكَ. Rather, what exists is مَا يَنْفِي ذَلِكَ. What refutes that? What makes us understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah with his eyes? Some of the ulama even say anywhere, whether in the heavens or on earth, that he ever saw Allah with the eyes on his head, there is no text that says so. No text marfu, no text mawkuf. No text marfu that is attributed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No text mawkuf and that is attributed to the companions radiallahu anhu. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Allah with the eyes on his head, no text like that. No text says clearly that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Allah with the eyes on his head. No text says that. This is what the ulama say. But they say rather what is established is ma yanfi dhalik. What negates that he ever saw Allah with his eyes. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They say, call Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq is tabi'i. He said, Kultu li Abi Dharr. I said to Abi Dharr, radiallahu anhu, Law ra'aytu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama lasa'altuhu. If I had seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would have asked him regarding a matter. Qala an ayyi shay? Regarding what would you have asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Kultu. I said, kuntu as'aluhu, hal ra'aita rabbak? I would have asked him, did you see your Lord? Qala Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu said, qad sa'altu fa qala. I had asked him, and he said, Ra'aytu nuran. I only saw light. I did not see him. I only saw light. So he said, hey, you saw your Lord? He said, no, I saw light. Ulama used this to refer to his ascendance, his mi'raj, when he went into the heavens. And Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, while also explaining this matter, he said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had actually seen Allah with the eyes on his head, Allah would have told us that in the Quran. When he said, Subhanalladhi asra bi'ajdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. He would have mentioned, if he saw him, he would have mentioned that linuriyahu anfusana, so that we can make him see us. Because that would have been the greatest honor for the Prophet and karama for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A mu'jiza for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he said, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ. But we make him see some of our signs. And the signs of Allah is not Allah. So make him see what he has created. How is the heavens? How was Jerusalem? How How were the Anbiya? How were the people in hell? How in Al-Jannah? How here? How? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. So if he had seen him, he would have said, we make him so that he can see us. We brought him to see us. So the Prophet did not see Allah with the eyes on his head. Not in this dunya, and not when he went for Mi'raj. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So فَمَا هُوَ مَعَنَا الْحَدِيثِ رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So what does it mean? What does the hadith mean? I saw my Lord, the mighty and sublime. What does the hadith mean? We said that he didn't see him on earth. He didn't see him where he went for Isra and Miraj. So what does the hadith mean? That he said he saw him. So what does the hadith mean? Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنِّي نَعَسْتُ فَاسْتَثْقَلْتُ نَوْمًا. I was taken by, I once dozed off. And the sleep became deep. I dozed off, and then the sleep became deep. فَرَأَيْتُ رَبِّي فِي أَحْسَنِ سُورَةٍ. And then I saw my Lord in the best of forms. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I dozed off. The hadith is longer than that. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reported the hadith. But this is the point we like to use. Because in that hadith, the companion said they wanted to perform Salatul Subh. So the Prophet was not coming out for Salah. So much that they were afraid what was happening. In fact, in one of them, he said, the sun was almost coming out. We have not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is he? And once they just saw him coming out, rushing into the masjid, he stood up, performed the Salah quickly. The Salah ended. He said, everybody should sit where he is. Nobody should stand up. So he stood up and addressed them. Do you know where I was? Why you had not seen me, why I did not come out quickly for the Salah? He said, we don't know. It's okay. The reason was that I woke up in the night, I made wudu, and I slept. And I saw my Lord in the best of forms. And he touched me in between, he said, he touched me in between my shoulders and my neck, such that I felt the coldness of his hands in my heart. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said so, and this hadith is authentic. So it meant that رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَّ meant رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي فِي النَّوْمِ. I saw my Lord in sleep. He saw his Lord in sleep. Actually, this word رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي exists in that bigger hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, for رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي. So some of the ulama had said that it's just kit'atun min هذا الحديث. That رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي, as reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, is just one part of that longer hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that it is the same hadith, that the hadith is the same hadith, and what it meant is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually saw Allah in his sleep. And that's why, to make us understand this better, that what Ibn Abbas was saying was that he saw him not with the eyes on his head. He also has a riwaya that the Prophet Muhammad, anna nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam ra'a بِفُؤَادِهِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. He saw with his heart, not the eyes on his head, twice. So the Prophet seeing Allah, he's seeing Allah in his dream. This is understood in the Ummah. And there's also consensus in the Ummah regarding this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dream. And they were asked, we had mentioned a part of it, as we try to quote the hadith. That hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas is in Sahih Muslim. This means that this report of Ibn Abbas, Ra'aytu Rabbi, is to be understood that Ra'aytu Rabbi bifu'adi. I saw my Lord in my heart, with my heart. That is, I saw him in my dream. So this is what it means when the Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said that wa anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam baqta wa books, that wa anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam رَأَى رَبَّهُ. Do we understand? فَإِنَّهُ مَعْثُورٌ عَنْ رَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَحِيحٌ. Do we understand this also? And we have understood it's being authentic, that the first report is authentic, and the second two reports are used as supporting evidences. And because of that, Al-Imam Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinqiti, rahimahullah, he said, التحقيق الذي دلت عليه نصوص الشرع. The most established evidence that is pointed to by the text of the Quran and Sunnah, annahu sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lam yarahu bi ayni ra'sihi, did not see Allah or has not seen Allah with the eyes on his head. He will see Allah on the day of Qiyamah in Sadal Jannah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why I said lam yarahu. He has not seen him bi ayni ra'sihi, with the eye on his head. Wa ma ja'a an ba'd as-salaf, and what is reported from some of the salaf, min annahu ra'ahu, that he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, فَالْمُرَادُ بِهِ, what is intended with that is that الرُّؤْيَةُ بِالْقَلْبِ, that it is seen with the heart. كَمَا فِي صَيْ مُسْلِمِ, and he quoted the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Sahih Muslim, that what it meant was that he saw him, he didn't see him with the two eyes on his head, but he saw him in his dream. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So back to our books. So it's established. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw Allah in his dream. So he said, rahimahullah, he said, wal hadithu indana ala zahirihi. Yes, we understand the hadith that is as come. He touched me. I felt the coolness of his hands in my heart. He touched me in between my neck and my chest. And I felt the coolness in my heart. Yes, we believe it as it is like that. We are not going to make ta'wil. We are not going to say how. We are not going to say why. Making a stinker. Is that what he said? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is authentic. Nu'minu bihi. We believe in it. Whether we understand it or not. But we understand it, inshallah. So he said, wal hadithu indana ala zahirihi. So the hadith is going to be understood in its apparent meaning. Kama jaa anin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it has been reported from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, wal kalamu fihi bid'ah. Hey, how did he touch him? Where did he touch? How did he feel the coldness inside his heart? Bid'ah is an innovation. How did Allah look when the Prophet saw him in the dream? Bid'ah. Al kalamu fihi bid'ah. To ask that kind of a question. The companions did not ask. So when you ask now, who are you following? You are starting something new in the Ummah. Do you understand? He told all this story to the companions after Salatul Subh. So nobody should go. They should listen. And he started to tell them. Nobody asked him, oh Rasul, how did Allah look in the dream? So the one who asks this question is a person of innovation. So no one asks these kind of questions and then begins to debate regarding them, except the people of innovations. Kama ja'a, he said, wal kalamu fihi bid'atun. So to be speaking regarding them and arguing, making them subjects of debate and argument is an innovation. Walakin nu'minu bihi kama ja'a ala zahirihi. But we are going to rather believe in them as they have come in their apparent meaning. Wala nunaziru fihi ahada. We are not going to start to make it subjects of debate with anyone. That did he see Allah? How did you know that he saw Allah? How did Allah look? How did Allah not look? How? Why did Allah say? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say he felt coldness? He felt this. That hadith can be authentic. Some of the people will reject this hadith, despite its sound chain of narration, despite the ittifaq of the ummah on it, because they say how do you people now come and say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Islam? Na nu minu bihi. So we believe in it. Because if not, it's authentic. And we are going to agree with it as it is, zahir, with its zahir like that. Is that how it is reported? And it is authentic, we believe in it. Because Allah is fa'alun lima yurid. And he has the ability to do that. Because innahu ala kulli shayin qadir. So he can do what he likes and he's able to do what he likes. So if he decides to do that with his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is it to query Allah? Who is it to ask Allah, why did you show yourself to your messenger in the sleep? No one has the right to do so. Because Allah is the one who asks. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. Allah is not asked regarding what he does. It is he who asks the people. How did you do that and why did you do that? So we understand from this point the Imam raised, rahimahullah, that wa anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad ra'a rabbahu. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah in his dream. فَإِنَّهُ مَعْصُورٌ عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصحيح and it is authentically reported from Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رواه قتادة عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس إمام قتادة reported from Ikrimah from ابن عباس ورواه الحكم ابن عبان عن ابن عباس الحكم ابن عبان also reported from ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما ورواه علي بن زيد بن يوسف بن مهران عن ابن عباس and also والحديث عندنا على ظاهره this hadith in the view of أهل السنة والجماعة is as it is appearing we are going to accept the hadith like that كما جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم as has been reported from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم والكلام فيه بدعة to be arguing regarding the hadith is an innovation and asking irrelevant questions regarding the hadith is an innovation ولكن نؤمن به كما جاء على ظاهره rather we believe the hadith as it is apparently وَلَا نُنَاظِرُ فِيهِ أَحَدًا We are not going to start arguing with anybody regarding the hadith. I hope this point is clear now. الحمد لله. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If there are questions we can attempt to answer, inshallah, we will do so. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته No, they are part of Sahih Muslim. They are part of Sahih Muslim. And those ahadith are authentic. So it's just bringing those ones to make isti'naf. It's just making supporting evidence with those. Do you understand? Because if you find a hadith like this, the hadith, the first, it will suffice that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal only mentioned the first riwayah of Qatada and Ikrimah and Ibn Abbas. It will suffice. Because we believe in the authenticity and reliance on ahadith ahad. If a hadith is gharib, whether gharib nisbi or gharib mutlak, hadith is gharib, nisbi or mutlak, hadith gharib mutlak generally, we believe that we can make ihtijaj with it. Whether in the matters of aqidah, or in the matters of ibadah, or in the matters of mu'amala. Hadith, sahih, sahih. And that's why no one made a shart that a hadith will not be sahih except that it is reported by Siqatani. And the person who mentioned something similar to that, Imam Hakim rahimahullah, some of the scholars even said that was not what he meant in his book, Ma'rifatul Hadith. So hadith is marawahu adlun, one person. Dabitun, one person. Bittisali sanad. So but what we, these two points, adlun, barbitun, is just referring to one single person. So the hadith, a hadith does not need to come in different chain of narrations before it can be authentic. Do you understand? So a hadith that are ahad are also authentic. And it can be used in aqaid. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah brought 25 reasons why we must accept them in his book, Ilam al-Muwaqqi'in. Why we must make ihtijaj with ahadith ghariba in matters of aqidah. And one of the evidences he brought was the fact that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, came alone. So with respect to between himself and we, it is gharib. Because he's alone. He came alone with the Quran. We did not ask him, where is the supporting messenger? Do we understand? We did not ask, where is the supporting messenger? Jibril came alone. The Prophet didn't ask him, where is Mikael? To make me understand that, yes, I have to accept what you are telling me. That I'm now Nabi. Let another angel come in addition to you. He accepted. So we can accept that. And this in Akidah. In fact, the whole deen. Do we understand? The Muslims were praying in Masjid al-Qiblatain. One Muslim was telling them the Qibla has changed, they all changed on the Salah. They didn't say, no, we have to hear from another person. This is one of the evidences too. And Sheikh Rabi al-Madkhali also has a book on that, making evidence with our heart. So it will suffice to do that. And that hadith is authentic. Even if the Imam didn't come with any other isnad apart from the one that he has come with, rahimahullah. I mean Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So that hadith is authentic. All others that he brought are just to make us understand perhaps that there are also chains of narrations that has reported the hadith. So in this case, we'll say the meaning from even those chains of narrations that are weak are correct. They are authentic in meaning. Do you understand? So that hadith is authentic. You can say the isnad that brought it or that he mentioned is weak, but the hadith is authentic. So the same thing applies to your question. Those ahadith are authentic. But it only makes us understand, one, that there are also chains of narrations that has brought them. If you saw a chain of narration that is weak and he did not refer to it, perhaps you say the hadith is weak because the chain of narration you have is weak. But it makes you understand, that's one benefit of doing that kind of a thing. It makes you understand that yes, even when this chain of narration is weak, the hadith is authentic because it has come with other chains of narrations that are authentic. So the hadith is authentic. Do you understand? The hadith is authentic. Do you understand? Because the meaning is authentic. Despite whatever is in the chain of narration, the hadith is authentic. It meant that the weak narrator here was right. Because the fact that they say that a narrator is weak does not mean that he cannot report something that's authentic. Even a kazzab, wadda', someone who is a liar who fabricates a hadith. The fact that he fabricates a hadith does not mean that he cannot report a hadith and it's authentic. And the evidence the ulama mentioned is that from between Abu Huraira and Shaytan. When Shaytan told him to read Ayat al-Kursi, you remember the hadith? Shaytan came and was stealing from what was kept for zakah. Abu Huraira was meant to take care of them. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, قَدْ صَدَقَكَ وَهُوَ كَذُوبُ. He has told you the truth, but he's a liar. But here he has said the truth. The fact now comes, how did we know that he said the truth? He is a liar, but how do we know that here the liar has said the truth? We knew that here the liar has said the truth from the confirmation from someone who never lies. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand? So we know that here the report of the liar is authentic. So the same thing, weak narrators can report a hadith that yes, the narration is weak, but from other narrations from authentic reporters, we can understand that this report is authentic. Do you understand? So that's why nobody will say to you that those narrations in Muslim are weak. Because they are confirmed from the reports of authentic reporters that they are authentic. So nobody will say to you that those ahadiths are weak. Do we understand? Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. I hope you can answer, inshallah. Well, the most important matters in the deen are matters of aqidah. You can see what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was saying, that these matters, the one who doesn't believe in them has not actually been a Muslim. Subhanallah. Do you understand? But unfortunately, maybe because of lackadaisical attitude, I won't believe that the people who teach do not know them. What one can say easily without problems is that they feel that people already know them. But quite unfortunately, most people do not know them. And that's why sometimes when you talk about Shia, people say, it's not Shia, ordinary political difference. It's more than that. These matters now we'll discuss. Inshallah, perhaps we have not mentioned matters regarding the Shia. Most of what we've been discussing are issues regarding the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. Khawarij, Mu'tazila. Khawarij, Mu'tazila. But inshallah, by the time we start discussing the matters concerning the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, we mention issues regarding the Shia. So many is just gaffler, not showing, not giving necessary approach to issues that are very important. So that's why many Muslims are as they are. Many Muslims are not consciously Muslims. Many people are not consciously Muslims. You know what I mean by consciously being Muslims? Being Muslims, knowing why you are Muslims, and trying to guide your Islam. This was the kind of Muslims that the companions were. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, كَانَ النَّاسِ يَسْأَلُونَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. See, I used to ask him about evil. People ask him about good. Yes, perform salah, perform pay zakat. But I used to ask him about evil so that I do not fall into it. And that was why he would tell you when the fitna started, he would tell you all. He said, look, I can tell you what will happen between now until the end of time. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. He was asking about fitna from the Prophet. His attitude, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his attitude there was to guide his deen. He said, مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. I'm afraid so that it does not influence me. Many people today have kharijiyya in their heads without knowing that they have kharijiyya in their heads. Many people have attitudes of the Mu'tazila in their heads, not knowing that they have attitudes of Mu'tazila in their heads. Especially most of the people who are scholars, people of Boko, they have all these thoughts in their heads. They are the ones, by the flip of a hand, they reject a hadith. By another flip of another hand, they take a hadith. Do you understand? They are muhaddithun of themselves. Whenever a hadith does not fit what they think is right, they reject the hadith. And these are the matters that Imam started with, rahimahullah. He said, innama huwa madha ittiba' wa tarkul hawa. He said, this deen is following and leaving your own desire. But now, the deen with people is their desire, and then sometimes when they like, following. He said, Anche, they say that today is the day of Eid. They say that they have seen the moon. They say that. So the deen became something. Just do it. Just do it. Because people did not know the implications of what they did. And this is how it is continuing to be until the day of Qiyamah. The situation will continue, generally, on the whole, to continue to be getting worse. Until the word Allah will not be mentioned on earth. But we must make effort that we know it and we bring it to the knowledge of the people near us. Most of these issues, most times you find them strange amongst the Muslims. But they are not strange. This book has been there 1,200 years now. There are other books on Aqidah. The Sharh Usul Itiqad Al-Sunnah Al-Jama'ah by Imam Al-Lalqai. The Sharia of Imam Al-Ajuri. There's Al-Iban of Imam Ibn Al-Battah. And the others. Al-Sunnah, Imam Al-Marwazi. Al-Sunnah, Imam Abdullah Ibn Ahmad Ibn Hanbal. Many books on Aqidah. There's Tuhawiyah and Al-Sharh by Ibn Abi Izz Al-Hanafi. You hardly go to Masajid and see these books being read. What he says, Umdatul Ahkam and Bulugul Maram. So if someone can perform Salah properly, but he still thinks that there are some things Prophet can say that he will not accept, what is the value of his Salah? So I think it's really, really true that it is also possible to say that it is because people did not learn these matters. People did not learn these matters. Someone will tell you that, is it now that I should learn that Muhammad is Rasulullah? But you need to learn it. There are rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That word, Muhammadun Rasulullah, carries seven things. Muhammadun Rasulullah. There are seven things inside it as you make that word. And look at how many times we make that statement every day without even thinking of any of these things. When you say Muhammadun Rasulullah, you have just said you believe, you agree with seven things. Subhanallah. So someone will tell you, is it today now that I should start learning that Muhammad is Rasulullah? Since all these years that we were born inside Islam, but that doesn't mean what you don't know, you don't know whether you were born as a Muslim or not. Allah understand. It's really, really a problem. May Allah preserve us from goodness. La an'ana has to do with mudallisun. If the person is not a mudallis, it doesn't have any problem. But if it's a mudallis, then it has a problem. And even when it's a mudallis, some of the scholars begin to say, like Sheikh Mashhur Hassan Al-Salman in his book, Bahajatul Muntafi', He was saying that even when Mudallisun make tadlis and they report ahadith, even when Mudallisun report ahadith with an'ana, that we should not, people should not, the scholars who verify ahadith should not be in a haste to declare the hadith weak. They should declare the hadith weak only when they can't find qarina. But there are some times that you find qarina that makes you feel that even when the mudallis makes an'ana, the hadith can still be authentic. So, but I think that advice is for the people who are declaring hadith weak and authentic. I don't think it's for us. We are just reading what they say. But sometimes when we know these qawaid, it will make us be able to know when there is difference, where to hold on to and what to believe. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. Okay, ma'am. Now. Oh. And children. Well, inshallah, we hope things will get better to the extent that we will be able to do so, perhaps in the later times. But now it may be difficult for us to immediately be able to do something. But inshallah, perhaps in the future, Allah will make it easy for us. But you know, like we said, these are we, the men, we are the fundamentals. If the men can't correct the women, then there's trouble. So we'll start from where we should start. That's we, the men. Then perhaps if Allah gives us the opportunity sometime, be able to start do some things with the women, inshallah. Inshallah. Alaykum salam. Well, alhamdulillah, we understand that once the moon is sighted by the time of Maghrib in any day, we say that another month has started. If by Maghrib today, the moon is sighted, today has ended. But as the moon appears, we say another month has started. At by the Maghrib, we have started another day when the reckoning of the Sharia. So the night comes before the day. The Hujjah, Imam Shankaitre mentioned, rahimahullah, he said it is the frequency of the way Allah had mentioned it in the Quran. One of his Anwa'ul Bayan, he has 19, one of them in his book is to make tarjih. He makes tarjih based on the frequency of the usage of matters in the Sharia. Let's give an example in this case. He said, Allah says, وَجَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ. He said, He made night and the day. So in most parts of the Quran, what you see is night and day, except in about two places. One in Surah An-Nazi and one that I can't remember now. So you see that. He said in those cases, we say it is taqdim and ta'khir. And that, but that what is regular is that the night before the day. Do you understand? So someone gives birth to a baby by Maghrib today. Yes, the person has started the day. Do you understand? So that will be counted, but sometimes the people do not count that time. They will wait until Fajr the next day. They start counting from the time of the Fajr. That is what will make the thing to become 8. For those who, if they start by Fajr tomorrow, it will count 8. But if you start from the night today, you see it will fall on the 7th day. So what is authentic and we should do is we should count for 7 days. This is the position of the Jamhur. Only a group of people say it should be counted the other way. And those are the Malikiyah. Only the Malikiyah say that. And I don't think that statement is even attributed to Imam Malik himself. I think it started generations after him. You can look at the book, Ahkamul Mawlud fi Sunnatil Mutahhara. Those brothers discussed the matter. And Ibn al-Qayyim also discusses in Tuhfatul Wadud. So what is Allahu Alam, most authentic is 7 days. 7 days counting, because it is clear that the day commences. A child that is born before sunset of a day has met that day before the sun set. Is born on that day. So that's why when you want to count the day the person was born and how old the person is, you count that day in addition. You don't start by counting the day that he made 24 hours. Say, oh, he's now 24 hours old. So you count 7 24 hours. You don't start like, you start from the very time that he was given birth to. So Allahu Alam, what is authentic is to make the counting and that it falls at 7 days as you explain. Allahu Alam. Alaykum Salaam. Allahu Alam. It may be difficult to say bid'ah, that word, especially if the person does not know. We can just make things a little bit easy and just correct the person and not use that word bid'ah. But it is, I can't remember, but even when some of the scholars have mentioned that I know Allahumma, that it is Ameen that are reported. What is reported is Ameen. What is reported is Ameen. What is reported is Ameen. That's Allahumma Ameen, or Ameen Ya Rasul, Ameen Ya Allah, Ameen Kun Faya Kun. We are the one putting those ones by ourselves. But I think things like this are things we should take easy with the people and not refer to them with words that will in fact make them say, oh, you say it's bidah, that's what we'll be doing. So I think it's better to be easy on matters like this. Because the matter itself is an easy one. So we should make it easy. We should take that kind of matter easy. So it's better to say just Ameen. Because that is what is reported. Allahu A'lam. الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته